This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Our lives. You know, sometimes there's so many things we can ask. Can we just for a moment just stand still and say, Jesus, thank you for your goodness. There's so much that we can reflect upon. And can we just do that for a moment before we continue with the service? Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that you didn't leave us with the opinion of man, Lord, or the trend of society, Lord, to determine the direction of our lives. But we thank you for your word, Lord, that is eternal, Lord, that is steadfast, that is powerful, that is able this morning, Lord, to help us to discern between the truth and our lives. Lord, that is here, this present time, Holy Spirit, to make that alive. We thank you for your presence that just enlightens every word that we experience. And Father, I pray this morning that as we continue, enlighten, touch each one of us, Lord. I submit, the Lord, every word that I am about to say to you, Holy Spirit. Close my mouth, Lord, for anything that is not from you. And Jesus, Holy Spirit, edify us this morning. Amen. Thank you, guys. You may take your seats. Thank you so much, Karine and the team. It's commercial time. It sounds bad if you say that in church. It's ads. I'll give you the ads. I'll say ads, advertisements. If you come to, you go, you watch the TV, you always, there's a part that you just want to forward, but you can't forward this. I'm glad there's no, what do they call it, catch-up. What's that? Not catch-up. What's that? You know the decoder thing with DSTV? You can't forward. Huh? Yeah, no, we've got that thing at home. Where's my wife? Help me. You can't forward me now. So you'll have to sit still, listen to what I'm saying. Some ads. Give you the ads that's coming up this week before we go into the sermon. Some of you, the Afrikaans-speaking people, okay? So if you understand Afrikaans, you want to attend this Wednesday night, we've got that guy that's telling a lot of jokes, but okay, Andries van Meulen. He's visiting the school, but, I said there's a but in the story. It's not only an evening of jokes, okay? Very funny, but he's actually sharing his destiny, his life story, which is very, very profound. So if you would love to go there, we have some tickets available. It's $100 per person. And you're welcome to go there, share that with the experience with a person that you want to expose to that type of destiny. But then also, the week after that, on the 3rd of October, that's the Thursday night, the 3rd of October, I just have this flyer here. It's from Stephen Lungu. We heard about him before. We heard about the men that told you about what they've experienced. So if you only heard, you should come and see, okay? What should I say? Maybe I should say nothing. All I'm going to say is you don't want to miss this, okay? I remember Sebastian, you know, when camp that you were there, and we said, you know, every time we hear his testimony, you cry again, and you cry again, and you're like, oh, this is still so profound. But I think he's now, I think 73 years of age, you know, and he's still going strong. He's just recently been in Germany, just came back from there, evangelistic crusades there, and God is just doing amazing things. But our God took this man from the street, literally from the street, where his parents dropped him down there, left him there. He was a gangster. He was in deep trouble, doing lots of rough stuff, I'm going to say. And God took him out of that into the place where he's currently ministering. So what we want to do that evening, we're going to invite our world, your world, and this whole town. Okay, and that, what's that place called? That hall behind the taxi rank? Mundesa Community Hall. Okay, I forgot the name in the first service. So Mundesa Community Hall. Okay, so I want to aim in on the next statement. We're going to fill that place in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That means we'll have to, Gerkie said, we're going to make Mundesa small. So we're going to go out there, well, whoever, and we're going to invite. Amen, people. This is a major, massive, great, and I don't want to underemphasize that, opportunity for us to get people into the presence of God. Okay, we're going to set the table, we're going to have our band there, and we're going to get them Stephen there just to tell his story and to minister there. So I really want to encourage you. Let's invite our friends. Please make a note, the 3rd of October. Don't forget that. Now, we're not just going to rock up there, we're going to prepare the ground as well. So I want to ask you to become part of that preparation in this harvest. Okay, so if you want to be part of that inviting, because what we're going to do is we're going to have cell groups going out there, reaching out, inviting people over that, days ahead of that, and especially the evening as well. Please, if you're not in a cell group and you don't know where you can help, please speak to our office, church office, to Raylene this week and tell her, listen, I want to become part of this outreach. This is a place where we physically can become part of the harvest. Amen. Can I just check? Everybody awake. Amen. I don't go ahead before I don't get an amen. Okay. And I'm going to stop preaching when I don't hear any amens, or I say yes, or what? Amen. Anything. Hallelujah. Whatever. Just make a noise so I know you are alive. Okay. Huh? Just need bluff me. Don't do anything of those funny noises. Okay. They won't go through as charismatic. Okay. Bluff is not, or barking is not charismatic. Okay, no meow, bark, nothing. Okay, just amen, hallelujah, praise God. Those are the ones that qualify. Take out your Bible, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14. There's just one verse, I've got it up there. We've been talking about the joy of the harvest, and you'll see we're speaking about the harvest. We had convergence. All you will hear is harvest, 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 and we're going to go into the harvest practically. Last week I spoke about the 7 things Paul would have said to us about the harvest. And I only got to the first 3. So the good news is the rest is still here this morning. So let me just quickly recap. We said to one another last week, Paul would have said to us, the first thing he would say to us, you will always have something to sow. Okay, encouraging. You always have something to sow. None of us in this place this morning can say, you've got nothing. You've got something. Say, I've got something. I need to sow it. Amen. God, Paul also said and encouraged us, and what we saw last week is, we're not sowing alone. We're sowing together. This is amazing. You've got somebody next to you that's going to yoke with you, that's going to help you, that's going to be something or someone that you are not. And it's got qualities and certain things that I haven't got. This is the amazing thing about the family. That's why on our own we're not going to make it. But God has given us family. God has given us amazing people around us that we can yoke together. We saw about Mark and how the Lord gave Mark a second chance. And Paul said, listen, come back. I want Mark back because he can be useful for me, to me in ministry. And I want you to still meditate upon that. Where are you useful to this body in ministry? So that someone in this church, might not be me, might not be some, but somebody in this church must be able to say, listen, bring Werner with you because he's useful to me in ministry. Because there's a different or specific place where God has called you within this church. I jokingly said this in the past. There's no place for unemployment in the kingdom of God. Huh? No job. Oh, it's not an excuse. There's always work here in the kingdom of God. Thank God. This is the only place. I mean, sometimes people say, you know what, the economy is tough, I don't have work. Well, it's, the good news is, yeah, it's not tough. There's always work. I just don't pay. You get no pay for that. No. You get the pay one day in heaven. Okay. And the last one we said, the power is in the seat, which releases us from the responsibility in many ways, the responsibility of making things happen. Because it's not in the sower, the obedience we need to obey, but the actual work, the power, is resident in the seat. Amen. Thanks God for an incorruptible seed inside of you and me that we can pass on. Hey, I feel so far away from you. I'm going to move this thing. You know, I hate it too. Then I can get closer. Okay. Close up, closer to the TV as well. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:14 says this, for the love of Christ compels us. Now, before I go to that scripture, who of us, don't raise your hand, okay? I won't embarrass you, but I'll raise my hand, okay? Who have you ever thought this, experienced this, or maybe said this, oh, just feels like work, or this is a bit boring, you know? And if you ever thought that yet, it's still on its way. Just tell me. Just serve God long enough, or just remain in church long enough, and you're sometimes going to think, or someday is going to think, oh, this church, you know, they just do so much stuff. They keep us busy. You know what? I just want to stay at home. I just want to enjoy my time. Now they ask me to come to this meeting and that thing, and it all feels like work, you know, and I don't enjoy this anymore, and this is so legalistic, and. Okay? You smile, because that's the truth. I'll raise my hand. Amen. Sometimes we get to those places, and it's fine. We do get to that place from time to time, probably, just because that's part of our process of maturing. It's in this process we discover, sometimes we reach such a place where it's just dry. Everything I do feels like work. Everything is no joy in this. But Paul would have said this through that scripture to us, for the love of Christ compels us. In other words, the closer I get to God, now this is not a statement to make you feel bad. I'm just saying it's just to give you some medicine here to help you to get rid of that feeling almost. The closer I get to God, the more joy I experience in terms of the harvest. So here's the thing. What I've discovered when Jesus said Matthew 22, verse 37 to 30, 39, when he talks about the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and the second that is equal to that is to love your neighbors, that any time when I feel like that, any time when I feel, you know, I don't feel like going to church, I don't feel like going to cell group, I don't feel like doing that, I don't feel like helping them to go to Stephen to, oh, you know what, I can rather, any time I do that, I realize there's something wrong with my intimacy with the Lord. The problem is not with the work that's supposed, say work supposed, because listen, you're going to work in heaven, so just a reminder, we ain't going to sit in a cloud with a harp and sing a song, you know, that, and we go around, hey, I don't know why we have those pictures, but we're going to work. Man was made to work. But anyway, you can enjoy the fruit of your labor. We can enjoy being part of what God is doing. If you get to that specific place when Paul says, the love of Christ compels you, that word compels means three things. First of all, it pushes you away from certain things. I don't want to be like that anymore. I don't want to talk like that anymore. I don't want to go there anymore, because it's the love of Christ inside of me that I'm allowing to take residence inside of me, transforming me, and as a result of that love, I don't want to go there anymore. Amen? At the same time, when it pushes me away from certain things, it draws me to something, or I'm compelled to go in a specific direction. I don't want to go there anymore. I don't want to talk like that anymore, but I want to do this specifically. And it's all the love of Christ that does that. No man can do that this morning. That's an amazing thing. God, thank you. Sometimes we try to, and I have to confess, we've done that before and we had to repent of that. But when we seek the love of Christ, it moves us away towards something and it keeps us in something, in Jesus. And that helps us when coming back to the harvest. The closer I, or the step I take towards Christ, is a step closer to his people. Because the two are connected. So if we struggle with the people, don't work harder on that side. Work harder on this side. That's all. I know it's some simple, profound, and I jokingly said, you know, in the we love our boxes. We love to put certain things in certain box. Today, I've got my church clothes on. I dress differently. I talk differently. I mean, I know we do that. It's fine, but we'll have to transform beyond that. Because when we get to the church, we are so friendly. Oh, brother, let me give you a hug. Huh? How was your week? Ah, auntie, how are you? Sister, love you. You know, we're so friendly at church. I mean, I just wish we were the same there out there. And I'm not saying we're not, but sometimes we have this, we're a little bit different here. We act a little bit different. And that's just religion trying to do that. So now we have this church box, and then we have the work box, and we have the friends box, and we have the braai box. Whatever you want to have. And we try and fit God in these boxes, and we need to go into the harvest field, and we don't know how to get God into the braai box, because in the braai box and the rugby box, we don't talk God. We don't, or at the workplace, oh, you got to respect the people, you know, we don't do. And you know, we've made evangelize this thing about, do you know Jesus? Can I tell you? You're going to hell. And you know, we've got this picture, and it's so difficult for us to get into this, because we've got this picture. If Stephen comes, and we're going to go out there, we got to evangelize. We got to ask him now, are you saved, sister? You know, we're talking about stuff anyway that people run away from us. The other day, tell me this joke, and that's a joke, it's actually it's a true story. I was in Fruit and Veg, and I'm paying for something, and this woman comes up to me, and he's like, as jy gered, o broer? Are you safe? And I'm like, yes, I am. I said, okay, then you're okay. I'm like, see, that's why I run away from that stuff, you know? Purely because we've got this wrong perception of testifying or evangelizing. When God says, listen, the way you are at church on a Sunday is supposed to be the same way you're at work with a family. Don't box me in. So what am I trying to say to you? The conversation we're supposed to have around the braai place fee is supposed to be the same conversation we have here. There shouldn't be any demarcations and things that say, you know, in many ways, it removes the barriers and expectations from us to become and act a certain way. All we need to do, and that's how easy it is tomorrow morning, when I'm among my colleagues or my friends or my family, all God wants me to do is this simple, talk about me. Not talk about me to them, just talk about me in your own life. What has God done for you this past week? I said it last week. If you heard God's voice this past week, amen, you can stand there and say, listen, you wouldn't believe what the creator of the universe, well, we wouldn't use that language, but we would say, you know, you wouldn't believe what God told me this week if God gives you the opportunity to sow into that. And the more we sow, the more we speak spontaneously, the Holy Spirit will work. People see through us, you know. They see when you put on that hat of, I'm going to evangelize now. Now I'm the Holy One. Are you saved? You're going to go to hell. You need to go to come to Stephen Lunku, huh? Please don't do that, okay? Paul would say to us this morning, the harvest process will increase your spiritual growth. The harvest process will increase your spiritual growth. It will speed it up. If we were in a war scenario this morning, we know there's people coming, approaching us. I want you to think for a moment. And we know we are outnumbered, but we need to get a few other people, an army from another source, to help us this morning to defend the enemy that's coming. We have a scenario of two groups of people. We've got the one group of people. They know exactly the enemy strategy. They know exactly the weaknesses of the enemy. They know exactly how many of the enemy are there in the camp. They know exactly, they even know the names of the enemy, which they Googled by anyway. Anyway, some of you will know what I talk. Some of us know the names of the demons, which I still sometimes wonder, where did you get the names of that demon? You know, some of that stuff we Google. Anyway, we know the whole scenario. The only thing is, this group that knows so much, the only thing is they've never been to battle, to combat. But we've got another group here. They know some stuff about the enemy. They've studied him. But they figured out, you know, well, I don't know everything, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try. And I've got a little bit of combat experience. Which group would you recruit to help us? Isn't that sometimes the scenario we have in church? You have the group that They know everything. You can't tell them anything. And we can land in that situation about the harvest. Listen, we can have an amazing harvest series. Then we can have amazing convergence series talking about the harvest. And then we can Google a few more other preachers and listen to the harvest. And then we can have going to have an amazing home cell series about the harvest. And then we're going to sit back and say, yes, man, we had an amazing time. God, and we're even going to pray. And we do that as well. We're going to pray about the harvest. But there comes a time, even though you do not know the difference between an apostle and an epistle, and you don't know about theology and whether you are here or there, and I don't know whether I, you know what, I love what Rick Russo said the other day, you know, when the guy said to him, he came to him, it was Rick Russo that said it in that sermon. He said, the guy comes to him and he says to him, he needs a prayer. And he said, wait a minute now, it doesn't make sense to him. Why do you need a prayer? He said, no, listen, just write me the prayer. I need this prayer, I need to go back to a guy. Because what happened is, this guy got involved in a conversation with somebody, and the guy said, listen, can you pray for me? And he said, no, listen, I can't pray, I don't know how to, I'll come back to you. So he went to his pastor, and he got the prayer, and he went back, and God touched that man. But here's the thing, sometimes we don't know everything, you know, and it's okay. Don't sit in the safe place just because we don't know. I'd rather go out there, make a few mistakes, but learn in the process, because God is guiding us in the process. You see, the sooner we get out on the field, and it's not that we're not saying this morning, don't embrace knowledge. Because here's the thing, when Christ, when the sooner we get into the field, the sooner we start growing. Here's the basic thing, which is my desire for every person in this church. The sooner you get to a place of serving, the sooner you're going to grow. When you get to that knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, you are my Savior, and I want to be part of this family, and God places you in the family. The next very thing you should ask yourself is, where do I fit in? Who do I need to serve? Which place? There's this place in this body where I need to serve. And then in that process, God starts with you. So here's the thing, when we become like Christ, we're supposed to become like Christ, there's two ways how God would do that in our lives. He puts us through the college of knowledge. Okay? I just call it that way. The college of knowledge. There's a reprogramming that needs to take place, Romans 12:2. In other words, we thought a certain way. You had a lot of lies in there. Some of us had maybe a little bit more as a result of our background. That's why sometimes don't just knock the church that were there before, because they laid a certain foundation in your life, and God came and he built upon that. I'm thanking God for conservative church that laid certain foundations. You know, when you go to Europe and a lot of those places, those people, they don't even have a foundation of who is God. You need to start and you go back to that place of, listen, by the way, you were created by God. I mean, they are in that place of already, how did I get here? You know, the evolution thing and all of that nonsense. But the truth needs to be replaced, and you need to be reprogrammed at the College of Knowledge. And we do Bible school and a lot of other things this morning. And sometimes we need to spend a bit more time there. But then, there's the College of Experience. Where you go out there with a little bit that you know. And God said to the people of Israel, listen, when you were in the desert, that was fine. I mean, I fed you manna. I fed you the quartels, ne? Quail? Yes. And he said, now listen, when you get into the promised land, it's time that you apply what you've learned there. Now, you can't just receive. You can't just wait for heaven to rain down manna upon you. Now you need to apply what I've told you in the desert. And it's a time, there comes a time when you have to quit writing the note in the Bible. I'm not saying stop with it. You know, we can underline everything on a Sunday morning and making notes. But somewhere, I've got to take this note. Okay, it tells me I need to get in my car and go there. The College of Experience. We're not going to know whether we're going to make any mistakes or whether God has got to guide us into a specific direction if we're not going to go and just allow him. Listen, the amazing thing is when Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 8, listen to what he's saying here. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's word or God's good news, but our own lives too. Can you see that? Paul says, listen, I didn't just give you the good news. It's one thing, I don't want to say preach at people, speak and declare that, but it's another thing to live among people so that people can see who I am when I'm there at the bride place, when I'm there at just the normal outside this environment. Who am I? Is my life still speaking to you? The way I speak, the way I act. I thought about Paul. You know, Paul was trained for 2 years with Gamaliel. How do you say that in English? Gamaliel, okay. You know, doesn't matter. He was trained for 2 years, kept aside. But after those 2 years, he had to apply a little bit of that and go out into the mission field. Paul, listen, Paul would have never discovered that it's God that is able to grow the seed and take it beyond what he's done in a short ministry trip. He discovered that in Thessalonica. And explain a little bit more in a moment. Paul would have never discovered that in the Bible school. Although he heard that, although he spoke about that, he would have never discovered that in the synagogue. Paul would have never discovered, unless he went on that trip to Malta, to that island, that when they were shipwrecked, when the ship went down, all the people with him, when he came out of that and he was bitten by a snake, he would have never discovered that it's God that preserves you supernaturally because you're within the will of God and that God wants to accomplish and he wants to take you to the end. I mean, you can't discover that on this pew. I mean, you can talk about that. But until you get to that place and you're out there on the field, you discover some other things about God. Paul would have never discovered if he kept singing in church, in synagogue, praise God, raise a hallelujah. But you know, it's a different thing to sing a raise a hallelujah when you're in prison. Paul would have never discovered that the worship song that he sang in prison has got a different effect than the worship song he sang in church. See, we can sing the song here on the Sunday. But when you're in the prison, when you're in a situation when it's difficult, when you have to apply this, out there on the mission field, out there in the college of experience, Paul discovered that that song he sang had a different effect. Paul would have not discovered, and we can carry on and on, he would have not discovered that whenever he's out there, that persecution is not always bad, because persecution would eventually push you in a direction where God wants you. Amen. I just don't want persecution. I just don't want any resistance. So I'm rather going to play safe, and I'm just going to wait upon God for this holy word. And when he directs me, I'm going to go, and then I never make mistakes, because I'm playing so safe, you know. Sometimes it's okay to make a mistake. Because if your heart is pure, if our hearts are pure, God is going to keep us safe. You know, we just need to remain humble. We are going to speak to somebody and somebody's going to push you away and resist you. But that's part of our maturity process. Paul discovered that. You know, as he's going from place to place, some people just hated him. They didn't want him. But he had to discover it out there. But in that process, God used that to direct him to where he wanted him. As for Jesus, think for a moment about Jesus' life. Jesus went into places where he wasn't received. Why do we think we're going to be so spiritual that we're always going to have it right, and we're always going to be so in time, and we're always going to have the right word, and then we're going to speak a word in season, and then everybody's going to accept that because, you know what? Well, they rejected Jesus. Guess what? Prepare yourself for a little bit of rejection. I just say, let's be sensitive, but sometimes it's just going to happen. But we don't have a control over that. God, all God is saying, just go. Last year, we were in that accident with our trailer, and it was written off, and it could have been a terrible, terrible thing as we were head-on facing another car. And then, you know, you come out of that after miraculously being saved through that whole experience, and I was sitting down with the Lord and just, you know, contemplating upon, Lord, why this and how, and are you trying to say something? And the only thing I heard the Lord saying to me at that stage, he said, Jaco, I don't want you always just to talk about my protection. I wanted you to experience that. Now, it's one thing to sit here this morning and say, let's give our tithes, let's give our offering. And then you give it, or you talk about it. But the moment you give it and you walk out of here, you're a few dollars, I don't want to say poorer. But things are different when you go out here because you've given. If you've given from that place of obedience and sacrifice, you still need to walk out there and now trust God because, you know, we can talk about a lot of stuff here, but until you start applying that, the techie, it's the tar, then it becomes difficult. And we learn the lessons through that. I just sense that God is saying maybe to many of us this morning, we're not going to grow unless we go into that place of
just harvest. Go out into the place of serving. Go out into the place of, I'm just going to apply now. Get out of that safe zone. Get out of that harbor. Get into, onto your ship, because God can't direct you if you're still in the harbor. We need to get to that place and just move. And as we move, the Holy Spirit directs us. Oh, take a step right. Take a little bit. It's a I've said it in the past, but the most difficult thing is to steer is a stagnant ship, a ship that is not moving. I mean, you can have the wind and all that, but you need to get to that place and just set your sails and say, Jesus, I'm going to trust you now as I'm going out here. You know what? I don't want to share prematurely, but this morning as I'm driving here, I stopped at the traffic light there, and somebody pulled up next to me. I won't tell you his registration number, because that's where God spoke to me about. There's a unique way sometimes how God would speak. And God says to me, you need to visit that place. Now, all I know is there's something that God is saying, you need to go there. But I won't know what it is until I go there. That's what I figured out. Yeah, it's up in the north of our country. And you know what? I wrote it down here. I said, Lord, okay, I'll take it back home, and I need to make a note, and I need to plan around this. Because sometimes God will tell you, just go there. Paul, go to Macedonia. In actual fact, let's look at this next example. This is actually such a beautiful example of this. Paul writes in Philippians 1 verse 6, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Paul would say to us here this morning, guys, relax. When God has started with something, he's going to take it to completion. Remove that burden from you. Because what happened is, in Thessalonica, let me read that scripture to you quickly. In Acts 16, verse 9 to 10, it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought up to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So what happened here? Paul receives a message from a man that had a dream and a vision, saying, listen, you need to come to us to Macedonia. So Paul decided, even Silas decided, to go to Macedonia, to Macedonia and Thessalonica, and to minister there. Thessalonica was one of the major cities in the Roman Empire. It was on the major trade routes, which was next to the sea, and it was about 200,000, they reckon, inhabitants in that town. It was one of the first cities they evangelized, but it was also one of the most strategic places, because through that, they entered into the rest of the world. Now, when Paul entered started ministering to the Thessalonians, and this is the thing I want you to get, they were there for only three Sabbath days, only three Sundays, Saturdays, whatever, okay, in our context now. So they had 3 weeks there to minister to the people of Thessalonica. After 3 weeks, they started getting persecution. All the Jews that were jealous, you know the whole story about Paul being chased from town to town. So they were chased out of the town. Paul went to Berea. From there, they thought they'll minister there a little bit, but the group came behind them and they chased them even further. So Paul went to Athens. From there, they went to Corinth. And when they got there, Paul was worried about the Thessalonians. So he sent Timothy back to the church there. Remember, they've only been there 3 weeks. Now I can imagine what Paul thought. You know, I hope that guy got rid of that demon. I hope that guy got rid of that addiction. I hope Satan didn't pull him back. You know, all this pastoral stuff, just wrestling, what Paul was wrestling. So he sent Timothy back, and Timothy comes back with a good report about the Thessalonians. He says this, and now, this is Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 8, and now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia, for wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. In other words, what is Scripture saying to us? Paul ministered there for 3 weeks. Then after he's been to other places, sends Timothy back, and Timothy comes back with a good report and says, listen, it's not just only going well in the church, it's expanded beyond that. What am I trying to say to you this morning? Sometimes we don't have control over certain things. God is going to ask you, just do this right now. And you're going to think, you know what, I wanted to do so much more, but you wouldn't have the time. You wouldn't have the opportunity. There's just a window of opportunity. But God would take care of that seed if we can just do what God has called us to do now. It removes that burden from us to make everything happen and to see that the child grows up. Sometimes we haven't got that privilege to see the child grow up. Sometimes we haven't got the privilege to see the baby being born. But God is just saying, just do that part which I've asked you to do. I mean, if I was the pastor, if I was Paul, I would have been so worried, you know, after 3 weeks. Oh, did I do enough? Did we? I mean, can you think about the possibilities? I mean, at the same time, it's so many thoughts that's running through my head. But think about the possibilities. If we go into our nation for 3 weeks in a town, and this happens, we're going to send you up to wherever, stay there for 3 weeks, and then we move you over for 3 weeks. I mean, there's going to be revival all across this nation. 3 weeks just needed, because the Holy Spirit is present there. It forces us in a way to rely more upon the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at that in a moment. But it also reminds us this morning that our seed never dies. We just need to sow that seed. And I want us to hear me this morning. I sense God is saying, do not withhold your seed just because you're so cautious that nothing would happen. You know, that there's nobody in place. I know we do this whole thing about raising up, and we have to get people behind that, and we're all for that, but sow the seed. Just sow the seed. Maybe God's going to send somebody behind us, you know, but now we don't want to, because we are so strategic and we're so careful, because we just don't want to do that. Well, in Paul's case, he didn't have the privilege to see it to the end, but he got the good news. Because listen, God loves that person more than I love that person. God loves my child more than I love my child, ever. And it releases me from a lot of, I mean, yes, we have the burden to pray. Yes, we have the yoke to yoke with him. But some days we just feel, you know what, God, I'm falling short. I've sown, I've done what I could do. But God, I have to remind myself that that seed will never die and that you love that person more than you love me, of that I love that person. Isn't that amazing about the God that we serve? I've thought about my own life, you know, and I just can share from my own life. Sometimes we sow, or people sow into our lives, you know, and then there's a time, because there's a time when that seed starts to grow, to sprout, and bring forth fruit. But just because we sow, and we expect the harvest, or something to happen, or the response to happen immediately, and then when it doesn't happen, or according to our reaction or expectation, then we like kind of despondent, but it didn't work, you know. But at the end of the day, it's God who decides who's going to water that and when it's going to be watered. When it's summer, when it's winter. Some of us carry seed for many years before we enter into that spring. I mean, I tell you what, this church is entering into a phase where we're going to see some seed starting to grow, where we've sown into places. And I'm just saying that because I've experienced that this past week, where people will call you and say, listen, you need to go there, and listen, we want you to come there, and all of that. And you're almost like, oh, God, we haven't got enough laborers. You need to help us here. But, you know, I thought about my own life. My grandparents, they sowed into my life, but they never had the privilege to sow the fullness of that. Think about your own life. There might have been somebody in your own life that sowed and sowed, and they went on to be with the Lord. And now they're sitting there in the heavenly audience. The Hebrews talks about the audience that's just cheering you and me on to say, finish strong, finish strong, finish strong. Allow that seed to grow inside of you. I had a friend, I told you as well in the past, that he passed away at a young age of 31 years of age. Both of us were on our way to ministry, preparing ourselves for ministry. And at that stage, he got cancer. Long story short, after prayers and all of that, he passed away. Bertus was my mentor in many ways. I had a lot of questions to the Lord. I said, Lord, why did you take him, not me? Because he was more spiritual than me, I would say. He served the Lord much longer than I did. He didn't have the privilege to see his little daughter growing up. But I sensed the Lord said to me, his ministry, his words, his ministry was his seed in your life and in many other people's lives. Sometimes, you know, we look at this through our perspective and our glasses. And if it doesn't happen in this time frame, it's wasted. No seed is wasted in the kingdom of God. We carry those seeds. Other day, I am in Windhoek. I should have not said that. No, but you don't know. So I'm in a meeting. And this is a difficult meeting. It was just one of those difficult church meetings. How should I say that? With respect to what we sometimes do. Anyway, and you've got difficult meetings as well. Sometimes we have them as well. I can say that probably, I said it in Afrikaans service. We meet from time to time. And this is scriptural. I'll give you reference. We meet from time to time with sheep. And so every now and then, you meet with a goat. How should I say that lovingly? So, Jesus spoke about the sheep and the goats. So it was a goat meeting, but it was a difficult meeting. And you're hoping, God, can this goat become a sheep or whatever? This is just giving me a hard time. And anyway, in this long meeting, you come out of this meeting. And still, listen, even though you're in difficult times and you have tough conversations with people, you still need to go back to the Lord and ask yourself, Lord, am I missing something here? Because, you know, sometimes we can be arrogant and we can be blind. We have blind spots. That's fine. And when people want conversation, that's fine. All of that. You know, and we can all have all of that. And I'm just contemplating after this meeting. I'm like, oh, God, did I miss something here? Are you saying something to us as a church? Is there anything that I need to know that I'm missing? Is there a blind spot? And are we doing the right thing? Are we going in the direction? Because sometimes people just know better. And they will tell you, you need to go in this direction. And you go, but listen, we're doing this. And anyway, so it's all this conversation. So I'm walking there, and the next thing I meet this guy that I knew there, and he said to me this, and it was as if the Lord heard the conversation and the thoughts that was going through my mind. This is like within 15 minutes after this meeting. And the guy said to me, Jaco, I just want to say this to you. You guys are making an amazing difference where you are. Now, it's not about my name in there. I'm talking about us here. He said this to me. He said, I was sitting here the other day. I'm listening to the conversation of two men that are having a discussion. And one of those men was testifying. He was at your men's camp this year. He spent time at that men's camp. And then 3 days after he came back from the men's camp, he gave his heart to Jesus. And it was if God is saying to me, just keep on sowing. You know, at the men's camp, we would have thought, no, nothing happened there. The guy even came back. He told his wife. His wife was expecting what happened. Nothing happened. And 3 days after that, boom, it just happens. And it was just like God is saying, just keep on sowing. Sometimes you're going to have a little bit of resistance. Sometimes the goats are going to come. And please don't be a goat. And I'm not saying you're a goat this morning. I'm just saying scripture is filled with that. You know, we get that. Paul had a few goats in his way, but God help us because we grow through that. Huh? We become more mature as well. And it keeps us humble. Huh? We don't know it all. We're going to make mistakes. I'm sorry if we make mistakes, but we need to love Jesus and obey him, the last thing, and then we're going to end. Because I know the enemy is reminding you of your dinner with your mother-in-law, and we'll pray for you. No. Repent. Forgive me. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5. The last one. The ship is into the harbor, coming back. For our gospel didn't come to you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power. And in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4 to 5, Paul writes this. He says this, and my speech and preaching with not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that should your faith not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Listen, we can have the word, but if there's no power, it means nothing. We can go out here this morning, know everything. You know what? You can't find any fault, but anything. I know everything, and we go out there, there's no power in that. If Jesus, listen, the Bible says in Acts 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power. Huh? But you shall receive power. Listen to the script. We know that. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But you shall receive power. Then just a few verses before that, in Acts 1 verse 4, he quotes Jesus. And now we need to pay attention. If Jesus knew, when he said to his disciples in John 14, John 6, up to John 16, they have their last few conversations when Jesus is with his disciples and says to them, listen, I know you're sad. I know I have to tell you I'm going away, but it's to your benefit that I go. Because listen, I'm sending you him, the promise, the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be with you all the time. But there's a big but in the story. in Acts 1 verse 4. He says, listen, I know you're going to be tempted, and Peter and John and all of you, you want to go out there and tell the world about what I've done here and about my miracles, but don't go. Don't go. Please, I'm commanding you, Acts 1 verse 4, not to go. Wait. Why are we so arrogant to go out there without the Holy Spirit? If Jesus commanded us, if Jesus knew that we need something, I find it, and I say that lovingly, that it's arrogant of us to go out there, try to change the world without walking in the Spirit. So what was he saying to us? He's saying, listen, wait for the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that will empower you, not just to do, but also it will enlighten you, it will give you that freshness continuously. Because we get to those places when we just grow dull and dry from time to time. And the word power there is that Greek word dunamis, which means dynamite. So, you know, when the word and power comes together, it's like this, boom, something happens. So we can preach and we can talk, but no power, man, you're going to waste your voice. You're going to become frustrated. You're going to feel, nobody's. But sometimes we just carry that anointing. We walk in the Spirit and we say one word. And boom. It just happens. I thought about this. I want to end there. When Jesus commanded his disciples, and he said, listen, you've got to wait for this. Wait till you get it. And when you get that, use that. So what happens, they're there on the day of Pentecost, and they receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They start speaking in tongues. And all these gifts that they had that was coming with it, the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's almost like this little toolbox. Can I use your for a moment? It's almost like God issues us with this little toolbox inside of that. And he says to us, listen, before you go out in the harvest field, don't go there on your own. Because I found out that the right tool for the right job makes the jobs much easier. Huh? I jokingly said that when we were in England. Now, when you buy furniture there, you go to IKEA, and then there's a showroom. And you look at that cupboard. Oh, I want that one. Then you need to go and take it from the shelf, all packaged nicely there, but it's not assembled. Okay. Not assembled. And there are instructions in there, by the way. But I'm one of those men. I know how to do that. Take away the instructions. Put them aside. Let me start. So I had a couple of times. I have to admit, you get to the end, you still have a few screws left. The door doesn't want to close properly. Huh? Because I knew better, man. I mean, this is easy. I grew up with this stuff. I mean, we're in the farm and all, we know better. You know why? This English person going to tell me how to do this. Anyway, I can tell you more stories. But anyway, then you just have to humbly go back, take it apart. And then what do? Take the instructions. Okay, now I see. Jesus said to us, listen, don't go out there without your toolbox. Inside that toolbox, there's a word of knowledge. Because sometimes you're going to get to that place when just preaching is not going to do the thing. Okay, God, I'm asking you for a word of knowledge because only the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's in that person's heart. Sometimes I'm going to go there and the person's going to be so tough and God says, they got the word of prophecy there. I want you to use that tool this morning. Sometimes we're going to get into that situation of the harvest field and the guy's just not ready and you can ask him and the Lord says, listen, I want you to pray for healing in this area in his life. And you'd like there, I'm going to go do this. Don't preach Jesus now. Just ask him, can I pray for you? Is there something? Is there a pain? Can I pray for you? And God wants to touch that person. Because remember, God heals us as believers through his covenant, but he touches the unbeliever as a result of his goodness. Because what does he want to do? He opens up the heart of that person through that healing, and suddenly that person's like, wow, we did that. How did that happen? See, I'm looking good with my handbag. I must put this down. How is it that we would be baptized with the Holy Spirit? We receive the gifts of tongues, or speaking in tongues, the gift and the sign. There's a difference between the two. Yet we all can have the sign, and this is a different discussion for other day. Yet we are able to do that but we still don't practice that. Man, if we only understand what we have. I pray now more than in tongues than I have ever prayed before, just because I realize, oh man, there's a pit down there, or well, that I need to draw certain stuff that I don't even understand myself, but I sense in my spiritual man, and I'm building up my spiritual man against certain things to stand up, and then I would just, and then it's just the Lord, you just know that the Lord is saying, just draw from that well, you need to dig deep and draw out of that place. So when you go out into the harvest field, you are equipped. D.L. Moody said this. They asked him, why do you continuously ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit or the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit? And D.L. Moody, that was such a massive preacher, said this. He said, because I leak. We leak from time to time. I'm a human being. And I leak. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. We were at Thailand few months earlier, and we were in that congress. And that last night, when we were after 4 or 5 days in strategic conversations about how are we going to reach the whole world's children in 2030 with the gospel, the founder of One Hope, Bob Hoskins, I think he's 80, and his age now. But anyway, long story short, he got up and he had this final say almost, this final conversation. And his final conversation came down to this. He said, listen, we have all these amazing meetings, we had all the strategy, but unless we're going to embrace the work of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to accomplish the goal. Unless we're going to go to that place and say, Jesus, baptize me, equip me, fill me, so that we can do that job, we're not going to do that. And I just sense to say that to us this morning. We're going to go out there in the harvest field, we can go and try and do a lot of things, and you're going to have some form of success. But unless we come to that place where we embrace the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we ain't not going to make a big difference. Which in a way releases me from a big burden, but at the same time excites me, because he's saying, I want to invite you. Join me. The greatest sower of all times is inviting all of us this morning to go out there in the harvest field. And every eye closed for a moment. I just want you to think about that. Maybe you're in this meeting this morning, and before I'm going to trust God for just a fresh outpouring of His Spirit upon your life, or maybe for the first time that you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We had that in the first service, and it's amazing how many people were baptized with the Holy Spirit just because they were hungry. But maybe you're sitting in this room this morning, and before I introduce you to the Holy Spirit, I want to introduce you to Jesus Christ as Savior, as the one that's here this morning to change your life. Maybe you've never come to that place where you've surrendered, where you've changed the direction of your life, the trajectory of your life, when you were in a different direction on a different path. But this morning you became aware of the direction, and God says, come back to me. Well, nobody's looking around, and you want to say that this morning to me, or to God actually, not to me. Say, Jesus, here I am. Take my life. Change my desires, change my heart, change my everything. I don't have much to offer, but here I am. If that's you, just for a moment, don't you want to raise your hand and say, that's me,
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.